1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11 will be our study for tonight. And you know, sometimes we don't really live our faith like we're supposed to, right? Sadly. You know, we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and are content with 5 to 10 minutes a day. We sing Onward Christian Soldiers and wait to be drafted into the service. We sing Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing and don't use the one we have. We sing There Shall Be Showers of Blessing, but do not come when it rains. We sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds and Let the Least Little Offense Sever It. We sing Serve the Lord with Gladness and gripe about all we have to do. We sing, I love to tell the story, and never mention it at all. We sing, we're marching to Zion, but fail to march to worship or Sunday school. We sing, cast thy burdens on the Lord, and worry ourselves into a nervous breakdown. We sing, the whole wide world for Jesus, and never even tell a friend about him. We sing, oh, day of rest and gladness, and weary ourselves on traveling, cutting grass, and doing many other things. We sing, throw out the lifeline, and content ourselves with throwing out the fishing line. Well, the question is, does it matter how we live? Isn't it matter that we just have the right doctrine? That we believe the right stuff? Well, you know, it does matter how we live. God is concerned with not only what we believe, but with how we behave. And as we continue our study in 1 John, we are going to see how much God cares about not only what we profess, but how we behave. And so here's a simple outline. We're going to break our way through it for those of you who are taking notes. We're going to look at how in Christ we have a new knowledge. We have a new emphasis, we have a new example, and we have a new experience. The Bible says that if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation, right? And we're going to see that tonight. All things are new. Aren't you glad for that? It's better than the old way. It's a new way. And so let's look at this new knowledge that we have. John writes about this. He says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, now by this we know. Once again, what do we know? What do we believe? What do we understand? This is how we know that we know him. If, another condition, we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, John says, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now, if you see some similarity between what John is writing here and a part of the sermon this morning from John chapter 8, verse 31, it's no coincidence. Because John witnessed Jesus say, if you are truly one who believes, you will be a disciple, and a disciple will abide in my word. And you can see those thoughts brought out here. So let's break it down. You know that John is writing, and he's dealing with a group of people who are called Gnostics. And that's from a Greek word, Gnosticism, which means knowledge. They were all about knowledge. And knowledge is not a bad thing. Knowledge is a good thing. But knowledge isn't everything. Knowledge about God is certainly essential. But the Gnostics believed in a mystical insight or direct vision of God. And so they talked about knowing God in a mystical fashion. And John says here, no, we're talking about an experiential knowledge. If you know God. If you've experienced God, the real Christian cannot separate knowledge from behavior. What we do is based upon what we know. And when we look at our lives, if we're doing what we talked about this morning of examining ourselves in the faith, we have to consider, what do we know? Because if we examine our life and we say, you know, there's something wrong with my behavior. My behavior just seems to be a little bit odd here. I seem to be okay in certain areas of my life, but there's a couple areas of my life where I'm just really way out. We have to examine why we do that and what do we believe. And so the true test of whether a person knows God is what they do with his word. How do we handle God's word? The way we live our lives proves whether we have personally experienced God. And so what does John say? By keeping God's commandments. Now, this is not a legalism. This is a relationship. Rather than a characteristics of those who think they know God through some type of mystical concept, as the Gnostics do. So in verse 4, he then says, someone who says one thing and does another thing is a person who's claiming they know God, but yet by their actions, they are disproving that. And so the knowledge of God spoken of here is not an academic theoretical knowledge, speculative, but practical and experiential. It's a relationship. John says that this claim is a false claim. These people are lying, which sounds very, very harsh, but John is telling us truth. And so verse 5, in contrast to the aforementioned people, John states the positive side of knowledge, that the true knowledge of God will produce a moral life that demonstrates obedience to God's commands. And so as the word is obeyed, God's love matures in us. And of course, one of the other fellows who was hanging around with John, Paul, would talk about that. He would say, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So show me an obedient believer, and I'll show you a person who's growing in the knowledge of God's love. And so, once again, this really becomes a test for us. A test for us to examine ourselves. Are we growing in God's love? If we are, it's due to our obedience to his word, which is a characteristic of our relationship with God. So verse 6 is another claim. Look at this. In this verse, the Gnostics are boasting that they live in him. They claim a mystical experience, visions, appearances, and other things like that. However, these apparent personal revelations haven't changed their ethics at all. They haven't changed their behavior. And so if one claims to have a relationship with God, there should be an aspect of morality that is demonstrated. To live, notice, as Jesus lived, to walk as he walked, to behave yourselves as Jesus did. So the human life of Jesus becomes a measuring stick, a moral standard, an example, if you would, for us to follow. Let's look at a couple of the verses. Just jump over with me to John 13, first of all. John 13. These are not on the slides. We'll have to let our fingers do the walking. John 13, 15. Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And of course, this is the example of washing the feet, but the principle is that Jesus is setting himself as an example. Look over at 1 Peter then, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." Well, that's not the one we necessarily run to get online for. But Jesus did say that he's an example to us of suffering, and we might also have to suffer. As we continue our study in the Gospel of John, we're going to see more of that. But then finally, come back with me to the book of Acts, chapter 10, and verse 38. Acts 10, 38. It says in Acts 10, 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And so we don't necessarily have the ability to run around and heal people, but we can certainly go about doing good, as it says here, with Jesus as our example. So then let's go to the second point tonight, which that's a new knowledge. We have a new example. Talked about Jesus already, but in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7, this is the new emphasis, new example's third point. Here he says in verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you've heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." So notice in verse 7, John is seeking to separate the tares from the wheat, the good from the evil. Some of his readers are imposters, making claims that are false, professing a lie. The rest of his readers are dear friends, as he uses the term, to whom he provides tests by which they can know whether they're walking in the light. Really, the book of 1 John, quite honestly, is a series of about 6 or 7 tests, depending upon how you count, of the believer. If we need to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 13, 1 John would be a good study for us because it provides for us tests, personal tests. Well, notice back in verse 7, the Gnostics are claiming new revelations through some type of mystical experience, and John seeks to show them that they need to return to the words of the Lord Jesus. John 13, 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you," what? "Love one another, as I have loved you." How has Christ loved us? Have you ever just sat down and thought about that? Make a list of how he loved you? Well, you know, you could say, well, he created me. But then you could say he died for me. You could say he's filled me with his spirit. You could then list all of the new things that he's given to you. A new behavior, a new group of friends, a new language, a new emphasis and purpose. All of these things. So the word Christ himself has said, Jesus, the old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. The word is the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is that we are to love. The test by which all men will know we are his disciples is not by what we believe, as important as that is, but how we love, how we care for each other. So then we have the new example. Verse 8 of chapter 2. "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away." We'd love it if it had passed away, right? But we're not there yet. We're in process. We're becoming. "And the true light is already shining." And the darkness couldn't pass if the light wasn't shining. So let's look at this new example that we have. The darkness is passing and the light is shining. So John here repeats the new commandment, which is to walk in love, but also now he says is to walk in light. Jesus walked in the light of God, the revelation of God. He was the revelation of God, and he's made it possible for us to then follow him and not walk in darkness. And you know the concept of walking is a progress. It's moving ahead. It's being changed. And so once again, one of the ways that we can test ourselves is we look at our life and we say, boy, you know, I can remember when I used to struggle with that or this, and I don't struggle with that or this anymore. But now there's something else I'm struggling with. And sooner or later, the Lord will help that pass away, and then there'll be something new coming which we don't even know about yet. It's interesting, as you go through life, I don't know if you do this, but many of us mark times in our lives by music, by songs. And I can remember as I was in Bible college and I was listening to certain Christian music at that time that was acceptable in the college I went to, there were songs that I listened to today and it brings me back to that moment in my life. And if you ever have, if you have that experience, it brings you back to like real feelings and emotions that are connected to that particular song. And it also makes you reflect on where you were at that point in your life. And you think now and you say, wow, the Lord has allowed me to grow. And I have seen darkness passing away and the true light now shining. There is this progression of my faith that God has brought about. And it's a beautiful thing. Well, then finally, point four is this new experience, verses 9 through 11. And so he says, now he's going to bring the whole lesson home, because he's talked about love, right? That's the new commandment. We need to love one another. We show that we're God's, Jesus' disciples by how we love each other. So he who says he's in the light, oh yeah, I'm in the light. I have a relationship with God, and I read his word, and I worship, and I'm enjoying the light, and I'm just living in that light. But they're hating their brother. They're not in the light. They're in darkness until now. He who loves his brother is abiding, continuing, remaining in the light. And there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his mind, blinded his eyes. So let's look at this. Here we have another claim that is being made concerning having fellowship with God. They're claiming that they are in a relationship with God. But this time, the people who are claiming to be walking in the light, John says, are really walking in the dark. Why? Because they hate someone. Now, this word brother doesn't relate to anybody outside of the church. This is a family term. This is another Christian. This is another member of the family of God, another professing disciple of Christ. And this one who hates, that's a very strong word. In fact, today it's a word that is used and thrown around and used in many different ways. But let's just strictly speak biblically here of the word hate, lest we change its meaning from our culture. It means to detest, to despise, to persecute. It's not just an emotion of anger. It demonstrates itself in action. It seeks to destroy another person, to hurt their reputation among others, say things that bring them down in the eyes of other people. And you know that our culture is really good at doing this, casting people down by their words. But John's point is, to walk in the light is to love. To love others to whom we are related spiritually. The love of God is expressed in our actions. And when love is absent, hatred is present. So another test of living in the light, verse 10, is the real believer is more concerned with what is done than with what is said. Deeds more than claims. So a proof of abiding in the light is to love the brethren. And he or she who loves cannot fall nor will cause others to fall, because the light keeps them strong. One of John's goals is to cause the believer to see that abiding in the light will produce profitable consequences. Not only are we in fellowship with God, but there's also a fellowship we enjoy with each other. He talked about that in the early part of chapter 1. And that fellowship strives for the best. If we're in fellowship with God, God certainly wants the best for us. And in being fellowship with one another, we want the best for each other. How can I draw out the best in another? Certainly, Christ has given us an example to do good and to serve. And so the Christian life cannot be lived alone. The Christian life is not just one man on an island or one woman on an island. There's a vertical relationship of us with God, but there's also a horizontal relationship of us with other people. Notice the contrast then in verse 11. The one who hates his brother has lost all sense of direction. And this is true. If you've ever been angry at someone, you know how strong that emotion can be and can disorient you and make you so myopically focused upon that individual that that you can't see anything else, the forest through the trees, so to speak. And so John says that this person who hates his brother has lost all sense of his direction. And as far as John is concerned, to profess to know Christ and to not love as Christ has told us to love is to demonstrate that that person is not in fellowship. So light illuminates, darkness blinds. When a person is filled with hate, they cannot tell if they are close or far away. They're just messed up in their understanding of their life. And so God does not want us to be children without direction. He's come to give us direction, to lead us in the path of light so that we might walk in the light that Jesus has led us to walk in. So to bring it into a summary, does our behavior matter to God? Certainly it does. And the greatest test is certainly the test of our relationship with Him and how we demonstrate that in our love for each other. There must be a moral fabric that we follow, the commandments of Jesus, and they demonstrate it in our care and concern for not only our walk with God, that we do the right thing, but that we live the right thing in how we treat others in the family of God. Let's pray. Father, tonight, you've drawn us into a relationship with yourself, and that relationship has begun now and will continue for all eternity. But you've also brought us into a relationship with others who profess to know Christ. And we are all at different levels in our walk with you, even in our understanding of truth. But that which holds us together in fellowship, that which strengthens our bond, is love. Help us that we will continue to grow in the love which we've received from you and the love that we then demonstrate back to you, but also then the love that we show to one another. And we thank you that that love has some boundaries to it, as your word has given us guidelines, and that we understand what truth is, and that we live that love in the context of the light that you provide in the truth of your word. Strengthen us, Lord, I pray, in our walk with you and the demonstration of our right walk with you and how we get along with each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.